There are those who will debate over whether these passages from Revelation are literal or figurative, whether there really is golden streets or whether that is a figure for something beyond our comprehension. That question really isn't significant because eternal things cannot be grasped by human minds. As God says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the imagination of men what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it is no less the Word of God. And if it is, liberals sometimes say, well, that's just figurative, as though that dismisses it. They'll say that of hell. Well, the flames of hell are not literal. They are merely figurative. I pray for their sake that they're wrong. Because which is greater, the figure or what the figure represents? Let me give you an illustration. Which is more important, the ring or the marriage that it represents? If the ring is destroyed, does that destroy the marriage? If my hand were to be cut off or my finger removed and the ring taken, would that destroy the marriage? No, the figure is always lesser than the reality. Which is greater, the flag or the nation that it represents? If flames are a figure in hell, what is the reality? If the only way God in the flesh, and the most we know about hell comes from the lips of Jesus Himself, if the only way that God in the flesh could describe eternal torment was being burned alive forever and ever and ever, how terrible is the reality? On the other hand, if these wondrous visions that we are given of heaven are only figures, how wondrous is the reality? And we have here words written that will someday be seen by all those who are Christ. These are not some fairy tale. They are not a children's story. I remember when I was a teenager, I thought that Christian stuff was great for women and children, but now that I was grown up, how stupid. This is the wonder that right now there are people who are experiencing. And one day, all those who are Christ's will. Then, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. And they will see His face, and His name will be on their forehead, and there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the Lamb or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angel to show His servants the things that must soon take place." Let's bow together, O God. May our hearts truly begin to comprehend the wonder of not only who you are, but of what you have called us to be. Lord, may we reach out in faith. May we not be paralyzed like so many have been of old and are still today by unbelief. Lord, may we cry out as that man cried out so long ago when confronted with the unsolvable problem of his demon-possessed son. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Oh Lord, in this day when the problem seems so vast, the outcome so certain, Lord, may we, like that man, believe. Help us with our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about what it means for God to come. And today I want to repaint that picture of what it's like when God really comes to His people. Because we lose that. You know, we can know the statistics. I was looking up on the internet this morning, and I was trying to find the actual front page of the paper, and I went through, I don't know how many websites, and I wanted to print out the actual picture of it so you could have it in your hand. I'm going to keep trying to find it, but I don't know where to look anymore. Those websites are so good until you actually have to find something. But I believe the date was October 20th, 1905. 108 years ago. October 20th, 1905, the words appeared on the front page of the Denver Post. Heaven has come to earth. Shops closed for 2 hours as the entire city seeks for God and what He is doing in our midst. So great has been the transformation of human character in this city that were a bag of gold to fall from a money car in the middle of the street, it would lay there unmolested until retrieved by its owner. That seems impossible. In that same year, probably one of the most notorious cities on the East Coast, Atlantic City, 108 years ago today, Atlantic City had a population of 50,000 people, almost the same that it has today. In 1905, the churches came together and evangelized the city and came up at the end of that time of God's movement. Out of those 50,000 people, they could count 50 men and women. 50 out of 50,000 who had not made a profession of faith. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? There are 330,000-odd people in Gloucester County. Can you imagine 330,000 minus 100 or even 300 saved, filling the prayer meeting, seeking the Lord, not just coming to church, but coming with eager hearts, ready to do whatever God says? Can you imagine living in that Gloucester County? Can you imagine? I remember when I was a young pastor, and there was still some remnants of the fear of the Lord left. I remember going into when we lived in Bridgeton, going into a supermarket. And we were walking down the aisle, and we're filling our cart with stuff from the thing. And here comes some people from the church. And they come by, and they couldn't, they're like, I look in the cart, and the cart is filled right to the brim with mixes for drinks. We said, hi, how you doing? And we were going this way, they were coming this way, so we meet at the next aisle, all of a sudden the cart's empty. And then we were about four behind them in line, and the cart was refilled. Can you imagine? Just imagine this. Can you imagine people being ashamed of sin again? Anything, but it seems unimaginable today, doesn't it? There's a fellow that I work with at the school. He has a second job, as many of us do. And we were out on the playground watching the kids this week, and put my arm around him. I said, my friend, you better pray that my prayers don't get answered. He said, why is that? His second job is a bartender. And I said, because if my prayers get answered, there won't be a customer left for you to poison. And he said, well, I think I'm pretty safe. Because there ain't no way that people in America today are going to give up drinking. And that is the attitude today, that God cannot move. If there was a God a long time ago, He has lost His fire for today, and He is impotent, and we have risen up and broken the shackles, and we can now do whatever we want. Now here's the thing. It's not something new. Everybody thinks something is something new. That is nothing new. The human race has done that multiple times before, and until Jesus comes, they'll keep doing it, right up until they see Him in the air and go, oh God, I was wrong. And here's the thing, we get so used to living in this dry area, this dry land, this place that is so devoid of God's Spirit, that we think it's natural, but it's not. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. You see, we've read about God's water from in heaven. In heaven, there is this river that flows from the throne, and it is the water of life. Remember what Jesus said? I am the living water. And here's the wondrous news. There are times when that water is poured out on earth. There are also times when it is withheld. In Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 15, God gives a list of curses upon a land that ignores Him. Deuteronomy 28:15 says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. And you know, it used to be that the cities were a curse. Remember that? Remember when it used to be that the slums were in the city, do you think it's any less cursed in the country these days? Everybody moved out of the city to come to suburbia where it was safe. Is it safe? Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. The crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses of confusion. What a curse. I was watching today, and it saddens my heart to see this of a nation that once was what we were. A man went on campus with a giant card. It was the University of Colorado. Right down the street from where all those ministries are, Focus on the Family, and all those national ministries. University of Colorado, he went on the campus with a giant card that said, "Thank you, Obama, for having the IRS attack and suppress the Tea Party and conservative movement." And he said, "I'm sending this card to President Obama to thank him for having the IRS suppress all those conservative groups. Would you like to sign it?" And student asked, "Oh, yeah, let me sign that. Thank you. Oh, I think it's wonderful." They don't understand that when the government suppresses one person, how long is it before they suppress everyone? And there's just confusion. People don't have a clue. "And rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you're destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases." How many new diseases are there? They keep talking about curing the old diseases, but before we find cures for the old diseases, they find new ones that are even stronger. Somebody was saying the other day, you never hear about AIDS anymore. No, but it's still killing people. But since they couldn't cure it, they just cover it up, hide it from sight. And fever and inflammation with scorching heat and drought and blight and mildew and hurricanes and tornadoes until you perish. Here's what it says, and here's what I want you to look at, because see, it all comes. Remember, Jesus said there's a river of the water of life in heaven. And when that water pours out of heaven onto earth, there is blessing. But here's what it says. It says, verse 23, "The sky over your head will be bronze." There will be a barrier between heaven and earth. Doesn't it seem sometimes like our prayers are just bouncing off of something? You know, God talks about, "You called me and I will be quick to answer you." There is a day when God is quick to answer. We're not in that day, are we? Look at what it says. We're talking about the water of life today. "The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder." Now, he's talking about physical things, but far more he is talking about spiritual things. Remember, everything in the Old Testament was a prophecy. It was a type to teach spiritual truth. "The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder." Now, you say, "Oh, let's build a bomb shelter and dig a hole." No. Because here's the promise that God gives. And four times in the book of Isaiah, not once, not twice, not three times, four specific times God makes the same promise in different words. And here's the promise, and this is what I want us to look at today. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, 17. The poor and needy. Remember when Jesus came and he started to preach to people, what did he say? Blessed are the rich and powerful because God is blessing them. What did he say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. What a metaphor for today. Isn't that the truth? And I feel that just as much as anyone. I don't know how many places I have gone to try to see God moving in the ways that He has moved in the past, and every time, it might be just a little oasis. But the spring quickly dries up. There were those who said, Florida, when I was down in Florida, they were saying that Pastor Cho, the pastor of the church in Seoul, Korea, had said there will be a great revival in America, and it will start in Florida. And we're the fulfillment of that. Church is empty. They're on the verge of selling the building because they can't pay the mortgage. Their tongues are parched and thirst. Yeah, it seems awful dark and dry. But here's the promise. But I, the Lord, will answer them. Do you believe that God will send an answer? You see, we're so busy searching for our own answers. Oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. God says, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. Now, where do rivers flow? Where do rivers flow? Do rivers flow on mountaintops? Rivers flow down in the valleys, don't they? So we're talking about a supernatural occurrence. This isn't something that can just come from a natural thing. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valley. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into spring. God says, I will do this. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43:16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Remember what God has done. It doesn't seem real. Oh, that God, He's not doing that today. He says, remember what I have done. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Don't just think that this is all stuff from long ago. All that we can have is memories of it. Oh, It would be wonderful to have lived. Have you ever said this? It would have been wonderful to live back then. Oh, I wish I could have been there when Moses parted the sea. I wish I could have been there on Mount Carmel when the fire fell. I wish I could have been with Peter and James and John on the Mount of Oh, I wish I could have been there. He says, don't do that. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And that's the problem, is we so often lack a perception of what God is doing. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I'm doing it. I'm making streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 44. Do not, but now, listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you, do not be afraid. You know how often God has to say, don't be afraid, don't fear, fear not. Someone counted them up, 365 times God uses some form of do not be afraid, do not fear, one for every day of the year. Now, if God said it 365 times, guess what? You and I probably have a problem with fear. Wouldn't you agree with that? We fear the future. What will happen? We fear for what we own, what we possess. We fear for our loved ones. We fear for our friends. We fear, fear, fear. He says, do not be afraid. O Jacob, my servant, Jethro, whom I have chosen, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land, and streams on the dry ground. Here it is. God says, this is not some physical thing. This isn't just, oh, we're having a drought here. This is a spiritual condition. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring, and on and my blessings on your descendant. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. And still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name of Israel. It doesn't seem possible today, does it? It does not seem possible to have in this place where spiritually it seems such a desert. It doesn't seem possible to have the grass spring up like a meadow. We had the privilege of being in Israel one year when we went down, I believe it was 94, when we went down to Masada on the Sea of the Dead Sea. And if you ever get to go to Israel, most of the time you're there, it looks like the moon. I mean, there are no rounded hills or nice gentle sloping. It is craters. Jagged, pointing, craterous place. Gets almost no rain whatsoever. Less than 1 inch a year. One rainstorm a year hits there. We went And it just so happened that our one trip was about a week and a half after its one rainstorm. And the whole place was alive with flowers. And I'm talking flowers this big. It was a pollen allergy person's nightmare. If you'd have looked at that a week before the rain came, you'd have said there isn't enough life in this whole place to fill a U-go. But oh, when the rain comes, it springs up. God says, I will pour out water on the thirsty land. I know today it seems like a bronze sky. It seems like the heavens overhead are as hard as the earth underneath. I think every time I hand out a tract of Oliver B. Green, who printed millions and millions of tracts, who talked about how the thousands upon thousands of people who contacted him, having been wondrously saved and going on in the faith and thanking him for that tract. Why is it today that the ground seems so hard? He says, it'll be thirsty ground. It'll be dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. They will spring up like grass. And then finally, Isaiah 45. Let's start at verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun, notice how merciful God is. He says, even to people who haven't been right with Him, He says, I will strengthen you, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create the darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You, heavens above, rain down righteousness. God says, that's my command. You, heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Now, here's the thing. You ever gone through one of those times when it's been a real rainy week? Just those, you know those weary, miserable, drizzly, cloudy, dark, and especially I hate it if it's in like the early spring when it gets dark early anyway. And you know, it just seems like the sun's just never up. Let me ask you, do you, during those times, do you really believe that the sun will never come back? It can feel that way, can't it? It's gotten worse since I went to teaching at school because, boy, the kids at our school, those kind of days just really gets to them. And I can understand why kids would feel that way because kids live in the moment, you know, young kids. I mean, like, next Thursday seems like forever away. Have you ever noticed that when you're born, you have about 42 months in a year? Christmas is like, you know, when you're in October, Christmas is still like 8, 10 months away. From the middle of May till the end of school has got to be like, what, 8, 10 months? Then somewhere around 25 or 30, it suddenly gets down to about 15 months. Somewhere around 40, you hit 12 months, and then it's downhill from there. You get to be my age, and you feel like you've got about 8 months left in the year. You go, you have that many. I'm sure it's got to get down to like 4. It's Christmas again. Maybe the difference is between when you buy the presents versus when you get the presents. But I'm sure that a little kid can go, oh, it's never going to be sunny again. We'll never get to go outside and play again. You know, you don't really believe that. When you mature, you learn that, yeah, there are dark weeks. But as the saying goes, I still believe in the sun, even if it's hidden behind clouds. Now, here's my question for today. Are you going to be a person of faith that says, I believe that God has given us promises for just a day such as today? I will pour out water. I will take that water that flows through the center of heaven that right now is being blocked by that brassy heaven, and I will open up a way. Someone said, that's why prayer is so important, because the only thing that can poke holes in a brassy heaven is prayer. When you have one person praying, it's like having a little needle and sticking a little needle through that. But when you get a handful of people together, it's like taking one of those metal punches and punching that through. But when God's church comes together and prays, it's like taking a chainsaw. We must not forget what God has done, but we must anticipate that the same God is in control today. He hasn't lost his fire, and that unbeliever can sit there in that play yard and go, ha ha, I'm safe. But he's not. And my prayer is that the day comes when he's sitting in the prayer meeting going, man, I remember when I thought, you must be an idiot to think that I'd ever give up. You. Let's pray together. Lord, I believe that those of us who are here, for the most part, are here because we believe what you have said. Lord, help our unbelief. Help our distraction with other things. Lord, let us lay claim to your promises and not let go. Lord, I pray that you would raise up in this place right now today another Jacob who would climb the ladder and lay hold of you and say, I will not let go until you send that blessing. Lord, you taught Jacob a very important lesson. He limped for the rest of his life. Lord, give us faith to pay the price, whatever it is, to see your glory come anew. In Jesus' name, amen.